The following sermon was delivered to the New Covenant Presbyterian Church, PCA, in Selma, Alabama.
We continue in Psalm 19. For those not here this morning, I covered the entire psalm, and now the next three sermons, I'm going to break it down and look at it a little closer. We did acknowledge this morning it teaches us these two types of revelation that God gives us, his general revelation through the creation that he's made, and then the special revelation through the Word. Tonight we're going to cover just the first, in particular the first six verses. So I'm going to read that now. Psalm 19, 1 through 6. To the choir master, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do pray as we consider how the creation bears testimony of the Creator, that you would teach us, you would apply your word to our hearts. You would conform us more to the image of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. I shared with Ron as I've been studying Psalm 19 that James Boyce, the late Jim Boyce, who for many years was the pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, that when he, most of his sermons have been put into commentaries, and you just read his sermons for edification and for quotes and for understanding of text. And he has the Psalms, and what he said as he was preaching through the Psalms, I think in the evening services, he would look in the hymnal, and at that time it was the older Trinity hymnal, the one before the current one we have from 1990, that was the previous one, I think, probably, that he would look and see which Psalms, or which, you know, either Psalter, selections from the Psalter or which hymns were actually based on Psalms. And there was a whole collection of them inspired by Psalm 19. I'm going to read the first two verses now, and then I'll read the third verse in a few minutes from The Spacious Firmament on High. This is 117 in our Trinity hymnal. And of course, it lists Psalm 19:1 under the title, but The Spacious Firmament on High. This is Joseph Addison. 1712. The spacious firmament on high, with all the blue, ethereal sky, and spangled heavens a-shining, frame their great, original proclaim. I need to follow the right cadence. The unwearied sun from day to day does his creator's power display, and publishes to every land the work of an almighty hand. Soon as the evening shades prevail, the moon takes up the wondrous tale, and nightly to the listening earth repeats the story of her birth, whilst all the stars that round her burn, and all the planets in their turn, confirm the tidings as they roll, and spread the truth from pole to pole. This is the part of the psalm where he takes creation, David, it's the psalm of David, where he looked at what God had made to see how it's, as I said this morning, cries, the cry of creation, for us to see the one who created it. Again, Paul would pick this up and say, it's so clear that we're without excuse to not, actually, as Jim Boyce said, it's so clear. Every single person who's ever lived, ever, when they see the sun, when they see the stars, when they see all that God's made, they should search out with all their heart Every single person. Who made this? How can I find him? How can I worship him as he deserves to be worshiped? Of course, we know most have turned the other way and have tried to somehow find a way to have creation without a creator. But David is telling us no. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day, pouring out speech, night to night. Knowledge. Number one, creation reveals, I would say, specific qualities about God. Specific qualities. The heavens declare his glory. His glory. His weightiness. His wonder. His power. His dominion. And the sky above proclaims his handiwork. His craftsmanship. His attention to detail. Ron already mentioned it. I'm thinking right now of his axe. I guess we'd call it a weed. On my, out at the edge of my front steps, there's a weed. And it's beautiful. It's like a wildflower. We would call it a weed that we want to pull up and get out of the way. You know, it's sort of in the way of the porch. It's an intricate flower, though. Beautiful colors. The detail. I mean, speaking of wildflowers, we'd ride up and down the road seeing them. These proclaim the wonder of God. The other night, I took a picture of it on my phone. There was a little frog. In our house, there's an old mailbox from the past right beside the front door of when the postman would come and maybe put the mail, I guess, unless it's just decoration. There was a frog, a little green frog, sitting up on that mailbox. God made that frog. We don't know why. To show forth his glory. But right now, we're looking at the heavens. I brought us all the way down to green frogs. I've been reading Beatrix Potter of late to... We finished the Chronicles of Narnia, and I grabbed Beatrix Potter. I've read some of these books so many times, I could just... I've read so many children's books, I could just talk all day, every day, and all of my illustrations and conversations could be through children's books. But Beatrix Potter's are there's where she gives all the different animals, rabbits, ducks, dogs, that old sly fox, Mr. Todd, gives them... You know, anthropomorphic human qualities to tell stories, and I've been reading them though. So even that reminds me of the wonder of God, even that that an author can take the things God's made and make them into stories that all teach tales, moral tales for us. Creation reveals specific qualities about God, his glory, his craftsmanship. That's verse 1. Verse 2, creation offers a continual revelation of God for all to see. Continual. That's what Joseph Addison and what the psalmist is getting to here. Day to day, pours speech. Night to night, reveals knowledge. Day after day. Every day when the sun rises, it's shouting. There's a God. As powerful as this sun is, as hot as it is, as much as it brings life, there's a God behind it that hung it there. And at night when the stars come out, every night, a reminder of God's detailed of attention to detail to give us day and night. Not to mention the fact that what do we do at night? We rest. We rest after taking a look at the stars. We rest. Creation constantly attests to God's beauty and goodness. There's a continual revelation for all to see day after day after day. Oh, our hearts have to be so hard. Our minds so filled with unbelief to not see. Creation reveals specific qualities about God. Creation offers a continual revelation of God for all to see. the rest of verse 2, creation offers an abundant revelation of God. The abundant. I've said that day after day after day. It's also abundant. We can even move into verse 3. There's no speech or other words whose voice is not heard. It's abundant. It's as high as the stars and the planets are away from us. It's as big and as vast and as hot as the sun, as intricate as the flowers and that little green frog. It is abundant. It's abundant. In case you think I sound really weird just talking about these things, well, God himself talks about them. Very remarkably, Job. Y'all know Job. He had suffered like no person has ever suffered. God himself said to Satan, "Have you considered Job?" Satan says, "Oh, he just serves you because you've given him so much." Well, you go through that epic poem as it's presented to us. His life is presented in the form of an epic poem with Job's friends, in quotes, friends. Well, at the end of Job and his friends, when after Elihu shows up, the fourth one, God answers Job. Now, Job's vindicated, but God answers Job. And here's what God says when he answers him from the whirlwind. That's 38. "Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me." And here's what God says to Job. "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band." I don't have time to read it all. That's the Job 38 and 39. God, it's so fascinating. As he's talking to Job, "Have you entered the storehouses of snow?" God asks. Have you seen the storehouses of the hail? "Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew?" Then he goes through all the animals. God made all this. He's proud of it. He doesn't mind talking about it. It reveals his glory. It's an abundant revelation. Creation's revelation is obvious for those willing to see. And get back to Psalm. It's obvious for those willing to see. Verse 3, "There's no speech nor other words whose voice is not heard." If you're just willing to see, there it is. "What though in solemn silence I'll move round this dark terrestrial ball? What though no real voice nor sound amidst their radiant orbs be found?" In other words, it's not human words. "In reason's ear they all rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine." You can go to 117 and read that yourself. I didn't read it the best I could have. It's there for all. Any willing to see, there it is. Next, creation offers a universal revelation of God. This is the first part of verse 4. "Their voice goes out through all the earth." It's universal. "Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." It's universal. It's clear. The message is clear. There is a God who made this, and there's a God who made you. Even as, is it David in Psalm 8? Yes. "What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him. You've made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. On the sixth day, he created man and woman from the dust of the ground in his own image. There's a God. He made all of this, and he made each of us. It's universal revelation. It's not spoken, but it's seen, so that no human being is without excuse. Let me repeat that God's creation reveals specific qualities about God. It's a continual revelation. It's abundant. It's obvious. It's universal. And then the Son is the powerful example he uses. Last part of verse 4. In them he has set a tent for the Son, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Eric Little, the Olympic runner from Scotland, who won in the, is from Chariots of Fire. He said, when I run, I feel his glory. That's how the movie put it. Then a missionary in China. He's just doing what the sun does. It says the sun runs its course with joy. Perhaps instructing us, we ought to run our course each day with joy as well. The sun is a specific example. It's rising from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them. There's nothing hidden from its heat. In other words, you see this sun, the one who made it, how much more powerful must he be than this? And then that comprehensive circuit is so great that all feel his heat. Now, he'll continue, and I'll just mention it now. Of course, I mentioned it this morning because I covered the whole psalm, and we'll come back to this next Lord's Day morning. He couldn't help but move from this general revelation to this specific revelation. That's what 7 and following. The scriptures as well, just like the sun is penetrating, it's warming, it's life-giving. The sun is also searching, it's purifying. That heat purifies. It cleans things. So it is with God's word, which he couldn't help but move on to the special revelation after looking at the creation. But tonight our point is just to revel in the beauty of what God has made and how it points us to him. As he is talking about the preaching of the gospel and his desire that his own fellow countrymen, the Jews, would be saved, Paul actually quotes Psalm 19. This is in Romans 10. I'm going to read 18 and 19. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will... their voice has gone out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. He quotes Psalm 19, even as he is discussing the preaching of the gospel to his people. A Christian and a scientist, I'm going to close with this quote. When I was reading Boyce, and this was decades ago, so much more has happened since. He was talking about how the more scientific discoveries there are, the more they point to the Creator. I guess since then, we've had the whole intelligent design movement in terms of science, and as well, I mentioned this morning, a recent movie that I just saw a couple of weeks ago is Genesis History, a wonderful discussion of the creation and how it points to the Creator. But in a book called God and the Astronomers, just showing how the more and more we discover, the more it points to God and more and more shows the scriptures to be true. Jastnow is the man. He says this. For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountains of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. As he pulls himself over the rock, he is greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries. David himself, this is millennia ago. He told us, and this is God's word for us today, the heavens declare the glory of God. Let's go to him in prayer. Father in heaven, we do live in a day where we do see all around us men and women hardening their hearts and telling us there isn't a creator. Almost in asking us to worship the creation or to worship ourselves as those so smart that we could determine for ourselves where everything came from. Lord, we come to you humbly and we thank you for the Holy Spirit that softened our hearts and for your written word that we can read that reminds us again tonight that the heavens declare your glory, that the sky proclaims your handiwork, that everywhere we look, we see there is a creator, and that your word tells us not only is there a creator, but there's a redeemer. For all those who have fallen short of the glory of God were justified by faith in Jesus Christ, the one who came and died in our place, the firstborn of all creation. He rose from the dead for our justification. And even now, he upholds the universe by the word of his power. We thank you for him and pray in his name.